Magic the Gathering players, Magic the Gathering players, that is time in the round, that is time in the round. Magic the Gathering players, that is time in the round.
I've been like trying. You know what actually bothers me so much about Arena?
What?
It's about the way that it actually like incorrectly applies game rules.
Sure.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
And
uh-huh.
This isn't even just like, this isn't a conspiracy. This isn't a joke. This is like, there are ways in which Arena actually incorrectly applies the rules of Magic. Because, and something that was pointed out, and I'm going to ask you,
okay.
Is this true or not?
Mm-hmm.
So Ash Lizzle, who I love, pointed out that Arena incorrectly would let you cast Cut Down on invalid targets. In response to them having been like -3/-3. So like say like nowhere to run. You nowhere to run on a 2/5. And that ordinarily you can't get down. And it goes to a -1/2. And then you would cut down. And she asserted that's actually not allowed because its power and toughness is 2/5. And I'm like, but you -3/-3'd it. So I'm bringing this up to you because that doesn't sound correct, but also I don't put it past Arena to incorrectly apply game rules.
So
because it's also like, and I'm saying this because like Arena will frequently, you'll be on one life and it'll go to tap your pain land for a color when you're on one life, which is something you would never do as a rational person.
That's fair. So the question here is asking essentially, does Cutdown care about the power and toughness of a creature or the base power and toughness of a creature? And the answer is written on the card, destroy target creature with total power and toughness 5 or less.
So it works.
It works.
Okay. That's really interesting. And again, I wanted to clarify that because I heard that and I was like, that's insane. I don't think that's actually how Cutdown works. It would be different, right, if it was like base power and toughness 5 or less.
Yeah, and it would be different, for instance, if the creature had like 3 damage marked on it.
So is that a thing as well? I think maybe that's actually what she was referencing. If it has 3 damage marked on it, it would still let you cut it down.
Oh, no, that should not be how that works.
Beautiful. Okay, that's what I mean. Like, I think there are instances in which Arena sometimes incorrectly applies rules because it like it's a program. There's a part of Arena that's AI, right? Like or quote unquote AI. You know, it's applying rules based on code, right?
By definition, it is a program.
Don't look at me like that. But what I'm saying is like, it is applying rules that it understands, but it's applying them incorrectly because it's just looking at, it's going, yeah. It has 3 damage marked on it. So it's no longer a 2/5. You know, it's a 2/2.
Yeah. The examples of this that I know of make sense in the context of what Arena is designed to be. Because
mm-hmm.
Arena...
It's
not,
an emulator.
It's not meant to be like Magic Online,
right?
Magic Online is extremely good about the magic rules. And sometimes it breaks, don't get me wrong. Especially when a card first releases, there's a lot of weird stuff that happens. Like, for instance, there's a card called Fate Spinner that for a little while on Magic Online, the card, it's like a 3-mana 2/2 that says at the beginning, saying that your opponent chooses to skip their upkeep draw phase or combat step or something like that.
Oh, yes. During, you know, each opponent's upkeep, they choose one. I played this in a mono blue deck. Yes. You choose an instance of a thing and you skip each instance of that thing for that turn.
Yeah, and like on Magic Online, there was a little while where you cast that card and then you went to your opponent's upkeep and they couldn't choose, so they timed out and died.
Oh! That's
like,
funny.
Yeah.
And again, but that's where an emulator is not actually...
Well, Magic Online, I would say, is pretty good.
Yeah.
Magic Online is actively designed to be... It is designed to play as closely as possible
the
game of Magic, you know, the, like, programming execution and visual prowess be damned.
Oh, God. The interface for Magic Online is terrible.
Yeah.
For those who are unfamiliar, it literally looks like... And does look like, because it was made in like, what, 2005?
I think it was the 90s. I think it was originally made in the late 90s.
And it remains as though it, like, it looks as though it has remained in the 90s forever.
And the reason that is because changing the back end of a program like Magic Online.
Oh my gosh.
Which is a rules engine with graphics slapped on top haphazardly is close to impossible.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, really hard to do.
That's why Arena is a completely separate program.
Exactly. And Arena's purpose is different, right? Arena's purpose is not to play Magic as closely as possible, but to provide a clean and, like, visually pleasing gameplay experience. Which means...
Sorry. I'm so sorry to laugh and, like, interrupt, but, like, I loved, like, the visually pleasing. All I could think of is, like, the rock pet that you can have on Arena that's just a rock with googly eyes.
Yeah.
And like the gilded goose, like a little like gold goose honks at you when you cast gilded goose. And I'm like, yes, mwah, chef's kiss, visually pleasing, like Magic Gathering gameplay.
Well, I mean, that is as composed, like those we've two like, things you cannot do on Magic
We've
Online.
Like Kaiba Corped like dual monsters for Magic the Gathering is what visually pleasing here is referencing. When I cast, you know, it's like, when you cast Resplendent Angel, I think it is, like an angel like dances up out of the card and like strikes her sword into the air. And I'm like, yeah, that's definitely what I needed in this instance and not an auto tapper that tries to kill me with pain.
Yeah. It's like there's a, it's like what like Brazen Burrower does, like, yeah, a little imp flies across the screen
exactly.
Or something.
Visually pleasing.
Yeah. Like it's a visually focused game. It's designed to be like smooth and nice gameplay. And the result of that is that there have been some rule sacrifices, right? There have been, specifically when it comes to like the passing of turns and phases, especially towards the end step, there are like some cases where you can't respond to a thing that you should be able to respond to. Right. And that I understand. That is normal. But you do need to understand that Magic Arena Magic is not the same game as Magic the Gathering TM. It's very close, but it's not the same.
If you want a really good example of how like Magic Arena gameplay is not the same as Paper Magic, all you need to do is watch a single Brewer's Kitchen episode and you will understand what that means. Because something that I do contend with is the fact that Arena is so good for tokens and counters decks because it does it for you. The fact that the program counts all your counters and counts all your tokens for you makes it so much easier to play these like Selesnya Cage decks. It makes it so much more straightforward than, yeah, okay, give me 1 second. I need to go find my token. Yep, where are my dice? Okay, you know, two dice here, one dice here. Okay, trigger. And then like having to do all of that manually can be a real headache, and it's so much easier to mess it up in real life. And that's like, you know, Arena's fantastic for that.
As a combination deck enjoyer, mm-hmm. I wholeheartedly agree. Executing complicated combos on an online client that has things that track all that for you, so nice. Do you know how nice it is not to have to track Storm on Arena?
random story here. There is a subsect of Magic players that I know exist that will just start counting Storm apropos of nothing with no intention. I remember I watched an episode of Tolarian Community College that Krim was on, the Asian Avenger, and Krim on one of his turns started counting Storm and everyone got so unbelievably stressed. Like you could feel and see the tension amongst everyone. You know, he's like, you know, Storm count 6, okay, Storm count 7, and got all the way to like Storm count 9 and then passed the turn. And it was, and you, oh my gosh. And this is very typical of like anyone who knows Krim and anyone who watches Krim's content can absolutely understand this is well within his character and it makes total sense for him as a person. But Arena doing that for you is so much easier because, again, you are more likely to lose track of something like that or you are more likely to keep track of it incorrectly. You may have missed the first instance of which you actually cast a spell. And that could be the difference between winning and losing the game.
There's a joke that Andrei Mengucci likes to make as well. He plays a lot of Magic Online because he likes to play Arena and Pauper. And it is, you know, you can, this card only does that thing in paper. Right? Like it's, which is a way of saying like Magic Online and Arena are a great way of enforcing the rules of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
You learn how things actually work a lot of the time on Arena and Magic, which are in ways that you wouldn't necessarily do so in paper because you rely on heuristics. Like my favorite example is Andrei Mengucci had like an untapped Steam Ventenic assigned to memory in hand and somebody sacrificed a fetch land. And the chat asked, oh, why don't you consign the fetch trigger? And Mengu was like, oh, you can only do that in paper. The reason being, consigned to memory counters triggered abilities, not activated abilities.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The chatter thought it was better stifle.
Right. You can only do that in paper. You can only cheat in paper.
The card only does that in paper. I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, I actually hadn't thought about that. You can't cheat, really, in online.
It's very different.
I was going to say, I say that knowing full well, again, I'm going to like reference another content creator. There is a clip from Covert Go Blue where someone had hacked Arena and had like, you know, Covert Go Blue largely plays best of one. And it was like, you know, opponent starts like three Leyline of Resonance on the battlefield, no lands, plays a Heartfire hero. It has haste for some reason, plays a Monstrous Rage. It triggers three times. Like, and it was like, oh, you hacked. Like, you're cheating, and for what? Like, to get into the mythic best of one ladder? Cool. But yeah, you actually can't do too much cheating in an online client.
It's hard. The cheating is difficult, right?
The cheating is different. Like, there's rumors, you know, people stream snipe. Like, if there's a content creator who's streaming, that they'll go stream snipe. They'll open up the, you know, oh, I'm playing against, you know, LVD today.
And I fully expect that there are programs that do things like let you see your opponent's hand.
Yeah.
Or like know what's on top of the deck or something like that. I imagine stacking the deck is probably a fair bit harder. But like, you know, that sort of stuff definitely happens, which is stuff that which is not the kind of cheating you can do in paper. The kind of cheating you can do in paper is fundamentally different, but that's what you have judges for.
And you should not cheat.
No, don't
cheat. You should not cheat. Do not cheat.
Cheat big bad.
Cheating is bad. If you do it, you're a coward.
I was just going to say a cheater, but yeah, that works.
Okay, I mean, you're both things. You're a cheater and a coward. Like, standing on principle, if you're cheating in Magic, you're actually not good at it.
Yeah, and the thing with cheating online as well is that you can't accidentally do it in the same way that you can in paper.
No, right? Oh my goodness. Like, there's no way you're accidentally like, oh my gosh, my program just put three Leyland of Resonances into my hand. That's crazy.
Oh my god, I accidentally downloaded and installed and paid for a program that lets me see my opponent's hands. Oh no. I didn't mean to double-click it and put it in the Windows startup menu.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Sorry.
I mean, if it's there, I may as well. But it's also like the way that Arena works, this is also like not related to cheating at all, but this is also where I contend that like Arena is a fantastic way to teach people how to play Magic.
Oh, it's fucking awesome.
And again, that's not to say like I think Arena is really good as a base level. I think it's a really good entry point. I think if people are curious about playing Magic, genuinely my advice to people who are like not even just, I've been playing Commander, I'm looking to play a constructed format, but genuinely, I've never played Magic, what do I do? My genuine first two recommendations before anyone spends a single dollar on a Magic card is watch YouTube videos and download Arena. I, like, bar none, that has been my most consistent advice. Oh, that's right. Welcome. We are so happy to have you. Download Arena. It's free. Use the tutorial function to learn how to play Magic, watch some YouTube videos, and then come back. And this is like this is a real but theoretical conversation that takes place at the game store. Like,
yeah. I have had people come to, so for those who are not aware, Kira and I work at the same game store.
Yes.
So I have had times where somebody has come in and be like, I want to learn Magic. And I'm like, great. Install Arena. Go sit down and do the tutorial. And once you are done, come back and I will hand you the starter decks. Yeah. Right? Like, it's just as somebody who's like a substantial part of the way I make my living is by teaching people how to play Magic. That is a big part of what being a judge is. Arena's just kind of better than me. Sorry.
Also, like, lore for people who are unfamiliar, Maya and I met at PAX teaching people how to play Magic.
It's true.
Like, that is how we met, was we met at PAX in 2023.
Yes, we are such nerds.
And we were teaching people how to play Magic. And this was like with welcome decks, which are different to starter decks. These are welcome decks that are the first time you play them in a predetermined order so that you have an ideal draw.
Which is so good, so smart.
It's really fantastic for teaching people how to play because like the last thing you want when you're teaching someone how to play is either like getting mana screwed or getting flooded. Like, you just don't want to be in a position of, oh, well, can't do anything this turn again, so
also, the first thing you want to teach someone in Magic really isn't mulligans.
No, you generally don't want to teach people, like, what that is. But when I teach people in paper, there's a lot of extra, like, over-explaining. And I often feel as though, and again, I say all of this wholeheartedly loving teaching people how to play Magic.
Yeah, it's great fun.
I love teaching people how to play Magic. I stand by the assertion that Arena is better because you can go as slow as you need to go. You can read the instructions that, you know, you play against the AI Sparky. You can play as slowly as you want and read the text boxes as slowly as you need to, because there is no, like, social, like, external pressure of you're sitting across from another person who's waiting for you to make a decision. There's no extra stress. Oftentimes as well, you can do it at home in your pajamas. Like, Arena is so good for teaching people. And also, in saying that, Arena did make me a lazy player for a while.
Still does for me.
And what I mean by that, you know, we're diverting from new players into what I mean by Arena makes me lazy and makes players lazy sometimes is that it does count all of your tokens for you. And it does count all of your counters for you. And it does count Storm for you. And it does automatically tap your lands for you. And it, you know, automatically highlights cards that you can play, and it doesn't let you play cards that you don't have the mana to cast. And so it can get really easy to just kind of be lulled into this, you know, yep, mouse click, drag, cast that spell, mouse click, drag, cast that spell, click on the target, click on the whatever. What I also mean in that way is it makes you it has the potential, I'm not going to make any sweeping judgments, has the potential to make you a poorer communicator when then you go to play in person. Because Magic is a game played with other people. And believe it or not, if you're sitting down to play with another person, you can't just tap two black, like, put down a go for the throat and just point at the thing of your opponents that you want to target.
Well, it's funny you should say that.
You can do that, but the reception is pretty poor.
So I have a good friend who I play Magic with a lot at university. Her name is Charlie. She's wonderful. We sat down to play the other day because we were playing Edge of Eternity's draft. Because I had bought a box and I wanted to draft. So we sat down and we sat opposite each other. And, like, we have a reasonably long history of, like, playing Magic together. She owns a vintage cube. We draft that a lot. She plays a lot of Commander. Very, very good at Magic. We sit down and our history is, like, we're both very chatty. We like to talk to each other. We like to vocalize with Magic. And we sit down and we spend the first two games not saying a word. Right? We just, like, hold cards and we, like, point to specific cards with the, like, corners of the cards. We turn things sideways. We flick our cards. And then beginning of the third game, I'm like, oh God, we've both played way too much Arena, haven't we? And Charlie was like, yeah.
I mean, again, in saying that as well, you and I, before we recorded one day, sat out in the library and played the world's quietest game of Magic.
Yeah, I got absolutely, I raged so silently. I got absolutely demolished.
It was very funny. And of course, like, that's an extenuating circumstance. We're playing Magic in a library. We can't exactly, you know, tap two, I'm going to go for the throat, you know. Like,
how dare you?
I've drawn another land and I need it to stock up. But generally, when you're playing with other people, there is a level of communication that needs to be done. And that is also to prevent cheating. Like, explaining the game actions that you are taking is also a safeguard against cheating. Because not for nothing, the less a person communicates with me, the more inclined I am to just watch what they're doing and be like, you know, it's weird that you're not, like, talking about this. And again, there are stoic Magic players out there. There are quiet Magic players out there. But for the most part, people are pretty receptive to, like, hey, do you mind, like, walking, you know, could you please announce your actions that you're taking, please? Like, I may have a response.
Yeah, there is definitely a difference, and this comes up a lot at competitive level Magic. There is a difference between stoicism and poor communication.
Mm-hmm.
And you can stoically announce an action. You can be like, go for the throat, you're marauding Mako. Right? That is the thing. Right?
You don't have to be very, Maya, I'm so sorry. I would like to go for the throat, you're marauding Mako.
Oh, really? But why? You know, there is a balance. And at competitive rules enforcement, I will say, it is in the rules that you are expected to communicate clearly. There is a whole ass penalty called a communication policy violation.
Incredible. I can't wait for an episode on that.
Which is basically, hey, did you fail to communicate appropriately? Have a warning. The second one is a game loss. Like,
guys, it's not worth the EV to not announce your game actions. It's genuinely not.
And just like, you can still be pleasant and stoic. In my mind, the best example of this, and I know we keep coming back to this person, but is Ben Tutman. I'm not sure if you've ever sat across from him in a competitive setting.
I'm not good enough to be matched up against Ben is like the bigger thing.
Neither am I. It was at an RC like 2 years ago or something. But yeah, like playing across from Ben, Ben is, when like deep in the tank, is very cordial and very polite and very pleasant, but stoic. Like, it is difficult to read Ben as a Magic player. He's something that he has presumably practiced and is very good at.
Yes.
But you still walk away and being like, oh,
that was nice.
Ben was lovely. Yeah. I enjoyed that game very much. I got absolutely fucking steamrolled. But yeah. I did so with a smile on my face.
Yeah.
Because the communication was clear. There was like a little bit of a discussion. There was a smile. There, like, you don't have to be an asshole to play Magic good.
What a concept.
I know. Wild. Crazy. And like you see this at the highest levels of play, right? Pretty much all like very, very good Magic players, like top end of the Pro Tour level Magic players, are very friendly.
They're very, very friendly, but again, very stoic as well when they're playing.
Yeah.
Like very stoic. Like when I don't know if you've ever watched Trent play Magic.
I don't think I have actually.
Trent is a very intimidating person to watch play Magic.
I believe
because
it.
Trent looks and acts very serious the entire time. And that's like, that is how Trent plays Magic. And he plays Magic very well. Trent is a very, very good Magic player. But I can, like, I get intimidated just watching him play. I can't imagine, like, sitting down and playing. And I've done, like, I need to, like, practice with Trent more. Because at CanCon in January, he very generously sat down and played some standard matches with me and was emulating like a very good mentor. Like not even emulating. He was a very good mentor, was sitting across from me, was making game actions and then going, why would I do that? It's like, talk me through it. Why would I play this way? Why would I do this and then not attack? And was forcing me to engage with the game outside of my side of the board. Fantastic, fantastic player. Very intimidating to play against. He almost always, when he plays, has a furrowed brow. Like he looks very serious and is thinking very intensely. He's a brilliant Magic player. But again, nice.
Yeah.
You walk away from a game with Trent being like, Trent's an awesome guy.
Yeah.
Trent is an absolutely awesome guy.
I will say as well, that is one other thing that playing Arena can definitely do to you. And that is make you not engage with the other side of the board, right? I'm not going to say recently, but I came to the realization that I have never actually been very good at Magic, right?
Put her there. Handshake. You and me both.
Yeah. Part of the reason why I play a lot of combo decks is because I find it more rewarding to engage with my side of the board and executing in a way that plays around a few specific things as opposed to trying to work out why my opponent is taking the game actions they're taking. And Arena, for me, exacerbates this problem. It is so easy for me just to go, oh, well, I'll play my Hopeless Nightmare, and then I'll just play my Pixie and my Hopeless Nightmare, and then I'll just play my 2-drop and then my Hopeless Nightmare, and that's fine, right? I don't really need to worry about what you're doing. I have this, you know, Grim Bauble, and there's nowhere to run in hand in case you play anything that I don't like, and it's fine, right?
There is also a literal screen between you and your opponent, and I think this also, in my opinion, opens the doors to people behaving really poorly on Arena. Like, anyone who has played Arena is familiar with the concept of roping, which is, and for those of you who aren't familiar, Arena has an automatic timer that is, whether you can see it or not, counting how long it takes you to take a turn or take a game action. And when you start taking too long, there is a visual representation of a timer running out. And this is referred to like when it's your turn, it goes across the battlefield in plain view so you can see it. From your opponent's perspective, it's a small like half circle rope underneath your icon. And because you cannot see your opponent and you cannot speak to your opponent, the ability for people to behave poorly is infinite. People will just get frustrated and leave. And they won't concede. Very specifically, they won't concede the match and allow you.
They won't even close the app.
They won't even. They will not even concede the match and let you go on to play your next thing. They will essentially punish you for taking a game action they didn't like. And they will leave the application open, but they will walk away from their computer and you will have to sit there through all of the timers timing out. And it is unbelievably rude to do this. And it does not matter that you cannot see your opponent. It does not matter that you cannot speak to your opponent. It is unbelievably rude to do that to your opponent. Concede with grace and let everyone move on.
There is... There are books and books and like studies and textbooks about the effect of anonymity on people's behavior. And yeah, roping people is fucking rude. Don't do it.
Just like seriously, hit the little icon, like hit the little cog icon, hit concede. Like just make it easier for everyone.
Yeah, you know what would happen if you roped in real life?
You get a game loss?
Yeah, you'd get a slow play warning and then a game loss real quick. By the time those timers are running out, you should have made a bloody game action.
And look, to be fair, this also brings us back to like where Arena is not perfect. It will start timing you out while you are taking game actions if you are taking too many of them. And this has been like evidenced on plenty of combo players like content videos. Like again, Brewer's Kitchen is a fantastic example of all of the ways in which Arena is not paper and all of the ways in which you could never do the things, or you could, but very difficultly, with difficulty, the things that he is doing on the Arena client. And one of those things is, you know, he, you know, when you have 300 Kiki Jiki, reflections of Kiki Jiki, and you are making a ton of copies of things and you are click, copy this. Arena will start to notice if you're taking too long to do that. And even though you're taking game actions and you are making more copies of things, it will start timing you out and start going, hurry up, buddy. Which in a real game of Magic, as long as you are taking game actions to some extent, you are allowed to continue your turn.
Yes.
With again, within reason. Mm-hmm. If you are...
Crazy how much the words within reason, how much heavy lifting those words.
A lot of heavy lifting the words within reason.
Yeah, very strong words. Buff as hell.
But yeah, Arena is not paper. Paper no. is not Arena.
And that being said, that there are decks that I would much rather play in. There are combo decks specifically as well that I would much rather play in paper than online. I don't know if you have ever tried to play Amulet Titan online. It is a nightmare.
Seems really annoying.
It's so scary because the way Magic Online has a system where when you're stacking triggers, you can group, you can essentially like right click auto stack triggers. And what that does is it will automatically stack triggers that are like are of the same type and affect the same object. And you would think that the Amulet of Vigor triggers you would be able to auto stack them. No, you must click on every single one of them, which gets to be a problem when you have three amulets on board and you cast Escape Shift, right? Yeah. It is very easy to accidentally time out with the deck if you are not, like, canister levels of proficient with it.
Yeah.
And just doing that in paper is so much easier. Like, yeah, no, I cast Escape Shift, I do this, I float this much mana, and then I sacrifice these lands. Right?
Yeah. Paper good.
Paper, yeah. I maintain the best way to play Magic is in paper with other people.
100%.
Highly recommend.